Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. With that gavel, I have convened the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. We are gathered on April the 12th, 2017, for the purpose of a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 84 relating to Residential Service Protection Fund surcharge, and a work session on House Bill 5035, the Public Utility Commission. So I will now open a work session, a public hearing and work session on SB 84 and ask our professional staff to introduce the subject.
And Madam Chair, if I could interrupt for just a moment, members will understand that this is deadline days, but for the purpose of the record, I've got two bills I'm presenting in two different rooms. In the next couple of minutes, I'll be in and out.
We will leave open the opportunity for you to cast votes as appropriate.
Thank you so much.
Consider yourself excused. Now.
Thank you. Madam Chair and members, Senate Bill 84 is related to the Residential Service Protection Fund surcharge. Currently, there is a surcharge on telephone and wireless service customers with access to the Oregon Telecommunications Relay System. Senate Bill 84 would apply, and the surcharge is currently 7 cents per month, but under statute it could be as high as 35 cents per month. Senate Bill 84, effective January 1st, applies the surcharge to customers with access to the Oregon Telecommunications Relay System via interconnected voice over internet protocol service. Individuals currently have access to the system, but unlike others, they don't currently pay the surcharge. So this bill would correct that inequity.
Colleagues, any questions of the professional staff? And is anyone going to opine on behalf of the bill? We have a sign-up sheet, and I think the staff is getting it. I shouldn't give any more notice, Eric. I apologize. Thank you very much. All right. On the sign-up sheet, we will invite forward the two that have signed up, John Cray from the Public Utility Commission, and Stephen, and I can't read the last name, Stephen M. Brown. Thank you. So, Mr. Brown and Mr. Cray, would you come forward?
Co-Chair Johnson and Co-Chair Gomberg, members of the committee, good afternoon. My name is John Cray, and I'm the Residential Service Protection Fund, RSPF, Program Manager at the Oregon Public Utility Commission. The applicability of the RSPF surcharge to subscribers of interconnected voice over internet protocol, VoIP, service with access to the Oregon Telecommunications Relay Service is ambiguous. Senate Bill 84 is designed to clarify that the RSPF surcharge does apply to subscribers of interconnected VoIP service like it currently does for landline and wireless subscribers with access to the Oregon Telecommunication Relay Service. Senate Bill 84 also mirrors existing Department of Revenue statute because the laws for both E911 and RSPF are similar. The 2014 Oregon legislature recognized that landline and wireless service subscribers were subsidizing interconnected VoIP service subscribers' access to E911. As a result, House Bill 4055 was enacted into law authorizing the Department of Revenue to assess the E911 tax to subscribers of interconnected VoIP service. Also, some interconnected VoIP service providers already collect and remit the RSPF surcharge, and this bill will result in the equitable treatment of all interconnected VoIP service providers in Oregon. The surcharge is currently set at 7 cents and has been reduced from 12 cents over the past 5 years and is significantly less than the statutory maximum of 35 cents. Although the Department of Revenue and the Public Utility Commission exchange and compare data provided by companies that collect and remit the E-911 tax and RSPF surcharge from their customer for reconciliation and enforcement purposes, the Public Utility Commission has not engaged in compliant efforts due to statutory ambiguity. Senate Bill 84 resolves that issue. The Public Utility Commission urges you to pass this bill, a fair and equitable measure in which all subscribers, including subscribers of interconnected VoIP servers with access, support the Oregon Telecommunication Relay Service. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on this bill. I welcome any questions or concerns you may have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cray. Colleagues, any questions of Mr. Cray or the PUC? I just want to make sure that I understood what you said, Mr. Cray. And that was that this bill now spreads the base more broadly, so there are more participants, and it is a more equitable application of the charge.
Co-Chair Johnson, Co-Chair Gomberg, members of the committee, yes, that is correct.
Thank you very much. All right, now we'd invite Mr. Brown's testimony.
Thank you for the opportunity for this hearing today.
Let me just stop for a moment. With the microphone that far away, can you hear her? Excuse me. For the benefit of people who might be listening on the internet, we're making a little technical adjustment. Thank you. I apologize, Mr. Brown. I wanted to make sure the record is complete.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you. So I'm happy to be here today. My name is Stephen McBrown. I'm one of the associate members of the DEF presidency and also a former TDAP Department of Equipment Engineer Committee as well member. So four years or so, I can't remember exactly, right around 4 years is what I've been in that member, but really I've been enjoying being involved in that committee. There's so many processes that are happening with PUC and trying to understand their business as well, telecommunication services, telecommunication equipment, things that are involved in the program. The Oregon Access Telecommunication Program. And that's for the Lifeline as well, the low-income program. Right now we have three different advocates for the phone costs, and really that's been a great benefit for the deaf and hard of hearing community who use that equipment, and it's amazing to use that phone equipment, and that's been great equipment as well. So this bill here, it seems to propose more varieties and opportunities for more people to use access through the internet, to use the E911 calls. So that's wonderful, and that's a great way to really ask for more help in case of an emergency. So I'm thinking that this bill would be providing fantastic additional access for individuals who are deaf, hard of hearing, have speech impairments as well, in order to call emergency phone numbers. So I know there are several stories I've heard, domestic violence situations that have been devastating. I know that's a hard time to use a phone call, to call the police, you know. My line of work is in mental health, as a mental health therapist, and so I do know, really, it's so hard to call and ask for help in those situations, but you can use the internet. You can use wireless phones. You can text. You can use those different ways to call, and that's a great benefit. So I think this bill is a great opportunity and provides more options for that community as well. So this is a great program with better access. Thank you for hearing my speech. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, any questions for Mr. Brown? Thank you very much. And just to make sure that the record is complete, if you wouldn't mind the interpreter giving your name for the record and spelling it, we would appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. My name is Pamela. My last name is Garland. My name is spelled P-A-M-E-L-A. My last name is G-A-R-L-A-N-D.
Thank you very much for your very capable signing, and we appreciate this panel. If there are no questions, we'll thank you for your time today. All right, anybody else not signed up who feels the spirit of testimony moving in them? Okay, none? Then we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 84 and open up a work session on Senate Bill 84.
Madam Chair and members, the LFO recommends that Senate Bill 84 be moved to the Ways and Means Full Committee.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Madam Co-Chair, I would move the staff recommendation.
Thank you. Colleagues, you have heard the motion. Are there any questions, any discussion, any objection? So ordered. And I think now we need carriers for full and Senator Monroe volunteers for full and the Senate. And do we, and Co-Chair Gomberg volunteers for the House. Okay, anything more we need to do on this, Mr. Gilbert?
Nothing.
Okay, thank you very much. Then we will close the work session, and we will now open a work session on House Bill 5035, the Public Utility Commission, and ask for the presenters to come. Well, first let's start with the professional staff to give us an introduction, and then if anyone is going to be available for questions. But let's hear the...
House Bill 5035 is the budget bill for the Public Utility Commission. The PUC is an other fund agency, and the LFO recommendation is a total funds budget of $103,131,671. It's 126 positions, 125.13 FTE. Included in this is Package 101, which is an increase in revenue consistent with Senate Bill 84, which you just acted upon. Also is Package 108, which provides 400,000 other funds for the implementation of a new filing and e-discovery system. It replaces their existing filing and docketing system. And it's going to provide a means to electronically and securely transfer large files and protected information. Moving on to the adjustments to the current service level, the only thing I would note here is that the statewide adjustments are not included. Those will be added later as part of an omnibus package at the end of session. And the LFO recommends adoption of the current service level adjustments or none there.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, you have heard the professional staff's recommendation. I will turn to Senator Monroe for a motion.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I move the LFO recommendation to House Bill 5035.
Okay. You've heard the motion. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. All right, we now turn to performance measures.
So the legislatively proposed 2017-19 key performance measures are available in OLIS. We are proposing to delete key performance measure number 4, which is the number of new utility pricing programs. In discussions with the PUC, it was determined that this key performance measure really isn't very good at indicating really much of anything at the time that it was adopted. I don't know, maybe the director or the chief financial officer would like to speak to this, but we're proposing to delete it, and we're also proposing to change number 11, and this is the percentage of disabled seniors with access to TDAP. The PUC has exceeded the KPM for 4 out of the last 5 years, and we're proposing to increase it to a level that really provides an incentive for them to continue to improve their program performance on this.
So before I take a motion, does the Chief Financial Officer's folks want to make any comment? Okay, they are declining. All right.
Madam Co-Chair, I move the LFO recommendation on key performance measures for House Bill 5035.
Colleagues, you have heard Senator Monroe's motion. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. All right. Moving along.
LFO recommends a budget of $46,118,891 other funds, $56,290,822. Other funds, none limited. $721,958 federal funds and 126 positions, 125.13 FTE, which is reflected in the dash one amendment.
Representative Meek, I thought I saw you move your hand. All right. Okay.
Madam Co-Chair, I move adoption of the dash one amendments to House Bill 5035.
Senator Monroe has moved the dash one amendments to House Bill 5035. Colleagues, any questions, any discussion, any objection? So ordered.
Madam Co-Chair, I move House Bill 5035 as amended with the dash one amendments to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Colleagues, you have heard Senator Monroe's motion. Any questions? Any discussion? Representative Nierman, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm going to be a no vote on this budget here. I do want to say that this doesn't reflect my opinion of the PUC or the work that they do. I think they're a fine organization. I was happy to have a tour of the PUC and get a math lesson on rate increases, which I don't think I could pass a test on today, but I appreciate the work that they do. I'm just unhappy with the budgeting process that we have in general going on, so I'll be a no vote on this one.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, I'm going to take Representative Noble, and then I'll bring our colleague, Senator Hansel, up to speed while he catches his breath. So, Representative Noble.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I want to echo what Representative Nierman had to say. I have the utmost respect for what the PUC does, but I will also be a no vote.
Okay, then we have a problem.
Representative Gomberg?
We'll have to get Representative Gomberg back. So let us then.
Do you want me to enter my testimony in, too, if I may?
But on 84, but we're in the work session right now on 5035. We raced right through that. So let us stand. Finish the PUC budget. We have Bill 5035. We didn't have adequate votes. I'm going to take us out of standing at ease on that. We'll finish that piece of business. Colleagues, I am going to, we're coming back onto the record. Thank you. On House Bill 5035. And Mr. Jolivet, just to remind us, we're in the last motion. We were just getting ready to move the entire budget out, and we're notified that there were two no votes. And so we have a motion underway, and we are just expecting the final vote. So, colleagues, you have heard Senator Monroe's motion on House Bill 5035, the Public Utility Commission. Are there any questions? Any discussion? Any objection? And the record needs to reflect that Representative Noble and Representative Nierman are no. Motion carries, and so House Bill 5035 now will proceed both to full and House floors. We got any volunteers for full and a floor?
Do you want to carry this too?
No, I'll carry this.
Okay. Senator Monroe volunteers to take the House Bill 5035 both to full and to the Senate floor. And do we have a volunteer over on this side?
I think Representative Nierman should do it. No, I'm just kidding.
I'll do it.
I can do it.
All right. Representative Meek will carry to the House floor. So I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 5035 and entertain a motion from Senator Monroe.
I would move that we reopen the work session on Senate Bill 84.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, you've heard Senator Monroe's motion to grant unanimous consent to reopen the public hearing on Senate Bill 84. Any question, any discussion, any objection? We have reopened the public hearing and the work session on Senate Bill 84 to allow Senator Hansel to make comments and to vote.
Thank you, Co-Chair. First of all, I was stuck in a hearing, and that's the reason I missed it. But Senate Bill 84 is very important to one of my constituents, one of my companies, the Helix Phone Company, a small rural phone company. They took the time to touch base with me to express their support for this bill. It will really help them, and it would mean a lot to, and I thank you for the opportunity to cast my vote in favor of that. And if it doesn't break too much protocol, I'd be honored to carry the bill as well.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, is there any objection to Senator Hansel casting a vote on Senate Bill 84? Senator Hansel, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you very much. That does not change the outcome. We're going to substitute carriers, and so do I need to close the public hearing and we substitute the carriers, or should we substitute the carriers on the record?
On the record.
Okay, so we're going to substitute the carriers on the record. So now going to full and the Senate floor for Senate Bill 84 will be Senator Hansel.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Senator Monroe. And there being no other business on Senate Bill 84, I will close the work session. And thank you, Madam Co-Chair, for sitting in with us, and ask the professional staff if we have any other business before us today.
None.
Colleagues, anything for the good of the order? Thank you very much. We stand adjourned.